Okay, here is the first of the defendants, Daniel McGowan and Jonathan Paul, with their lawyers. Looks like they are being followed with their family and friends.
McGowan wants to, first of all, thank his family, his friends, his loving wife, and his many supporters for all of their support throughout these last few months and the support he's going to continue to need in the future. 11 months ago, the government said Daniel McGowan had two choices. He could cooperate and inform on other people in order to make a deal, or he could face life in prison for his role in two alleged arsons. Today, Daniel is able to accept his full responsibility for his role in these two incidents on terms that allow him to honor his deeply held personal beliefs. Under the terms of Daniel's agreement, he did not inform on any other person. He did not identify or implicate any other person or provide any information that would tend to incriminate another person. This was critically important to Daniel, and we are pleased that we were able to reach this kind of agreement for him. After these two incidents, which occurred in the year 2001, Daniel McGowan realized that arson did not fit in any way with his personal vision of how to create a better world, the world that he wanted for all of us to live in. And he continued with his positive activism that he had always been involved in and that he has continued to engage in until this very day. He works to support victims of domestic violence and to prevent domestic violence. He works on environmental campaigns to preserve old-growth forests, and he works to advocate for prisoners and to make sure they get support from people outside the walls. Daniel is looking forward to continuing to spend time on these projects over the next few months while he awaits his sentencing, and he looks forward to being in court again with Judge Aiken and talking with her about these incidents. At that time, the judge will impose a sentence that we believe will be just and fair and will recognize that what Daniel McGowan did, along with the other three defendants today, was an appropriate way to resolve this difficult case for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you guys very much. Ingrid?
You can give us your name, please.
My name is Amanda Lee. Jeff Robinson and I, with the firm Schrader, Goldmark, and Bender, represent Daniel.
We can, if folks want, hand out copies of the plea agreement and the statement that Mr. McGowan made in court.
I would add that no part of Daniel McGowan's plea agreement has been sealed by the court. No part of it has been, we have asked that no part of it be placed under seal. It's available today. It is in the record for the public and for the media to view.
Did bringing up the NSA wiretapping issue help your case? Did that strengthen your negotiating ability to get an agreement?
Can we just start shifting that away from the answers for me, please?
All I can tell you about the NSA issue is that we filed a motion 8 months ago seeking to have the government to produce any NSA surveillance that might relate to this case so that we could see it and see how it may have been used. After the court ordered the government to come forward with some response and information in response to that motion, we quickly received an opportunity to sit down with the government and try to reach a resolution that would work. So while we do not have any more information than we did then about what the NSA may or may not have, it's our belief that the NSA request was a critical component in resolving this case.
Thank you.
about the terrorism aspect of the case? They're wanting to use terrorism as...
The government has used the terrorism issue to confuse and obfuscate the issues in this case from the very beginning. These were two incidents of arson that Daniel McGowan was involved in. And the term serves only to demonize people who are deeply committed to making this world a much better place, to preserving old-growth forests and to protecting the environment.
So do you believe that your client was spied on by the National Security Agency without a warrant?
We have no way of knowing what information exactly the National Security Agency is gathering. We know from testimony in Congress by the Attorney General of the United States that there may be surveillance programs that have not been disclosed to the American people. We know that the programs that have been disclosed have captured entirely domestic communications between American people living in America, and there are specific programs that he has declined to discuss. He has said the only programs he will discuss are those that the president has disclosed and those that are authorized in statutes.
So, in other words, without that issue, do you think you would have gotten the government to agree to this group?
I think you'd have to ask the government that.
Well, the government says there were no warrantless wiretaps and this was not an issue in the plea agreement.
What the government has said on the record is they have no information. That's the U.S. attorney saying they do not know if there is NSA surveillance.
No, Kurt Engdahl just told me that there were no wiretaps, were no warrantless wiretaps. To me, he said. Is that a lie?
What I have said is that what Mr. Engdahl has said on the record is that he has no information about whether there is NSA surveillance in the case. The information, by definition, is classified.
You said you thought that your memo and your request was a critical component to resolving this case.
I believe that based on the chronology of events.
How big a factor were other defendants' decisions prior to this in their decision to the case?
What was important to us in this case was reaching a resolution that allowed our client to honor his personal beliefs, and we are pleased that we were able to do that.
And what they did didn't have anything to do with their decisions.
They did what they did, and our client and the three people who pled guilty today did what they did. And in the spirit of community, which is what many of the folks in this movement were about, they came together as a group to resolve their cases together, without talking about anybody else. And quite frankly, I think that was a significant and laudable event. And I think all four defendants who pled guilty today should be proud of taking responsibility for what they did and keeping their beliefs high and intact at the same time.
What was your full name?
Jeff Robinson.
Daniel have a statement of orders on how they can continue to help him?
We have released Daniel's statement to the court today on paper for all of you to have. And today is not the day for Daniel to speak to the media. We'll be saving, I think Daniel wants to speak directly to the judge. I think that's all we have. Thanks.
Thank you, folks. Appreciate it.
There's a statement by Jonathan Paul that's going to be read by Alexandra Paul, his sister as well.
My name is Alexandra Paul, and I'm Jonathan Paul's sister.
You need to keep the ship the back this way. You guys need to move back that way, away from the entrance, please.
The hallmark of Jonathan Paul's life is personal responsibility. When he learned that mink were being inhumanely treated, he took it upon himself to infiltrate and expose that industry. When he learned of the cruelty being suffered by laboratory animals, he took it upon himself to liberate them. When old-growth forests were threatened with destruction, he put his body between the chains, the chainsaws, and the trees. When the moratorium on whale hunting was breached, he put himself between the hunters and the hunted. And when he saw that wild horses, the personification of the American spirit, were being cruelly slaughtered, he acted to stop that slaughter. My brother Jonathan's guilty plea today and the terms of the agreement that made it possible are two more manifestations of his lifelong commitment to personal responsibility. My brother Jonathan alone is responsible for his decision to assault the Cabell West slaughterhouse. He appreciates the government's recognition of this by allowing him to accept that responsibility without expecting him to blame or insist that he implicate others. Jonathan saw the flames engulf the Cabell West slaughterhouse in Redmond, Oregon, and he realized that fire was an unacceptable means to an end, no matter how compelling. He immediately abandoned arson as a valid way of making the mistreatment of animals unprofitable. Jonathan Paul has been and will continue to be a person deeply committed to the betterment of our society and the elimination of animal and human suffering. Since 1997, a major focus of his life has been fighting fire, qualifying as a volunteer firefighter and emergency medical technician. Perhaps his greatest fear in acknowledging his responsibility for the arson at Cabell West is that it may disqualify him from continuing to serve in these ways. Jonathan retains the hope that humans will embrace environmental sustainability and renounce animal cruelty and exploitation. He intends to continue to pursue these goals in an ethical and transparent way. Thank you. There'll be no further questions.
Frida Ho. Now this is over. Let's let three people who haven't committed crimes be taken out of jail. Grand jury resister. Jeff Hogue has not committed a crime. Let him out.
What's going on with the Jeff Hogue situation?
They'll get him.
is it possible that they'll let him out now after all this?
I have no idea. I can only be hopeful in the light that these are the last cooperation of the defendants that are not out of the country, as it were.
How
I would really hope that this would alleviate the need for Jeff Hogue to be continually incarcerated against his rights, his civil rights, for not committing a crime and not being a part of any of this.
How long has Jeff been held?
Jeff has been in jail since May 18th, and Mr. Engdahl and the rest of the prosecution team have threatened to hold him there until March of 2007.
What's he doing in there?
He's hanging in there, and it's been extremely difficult. It's been extremely difficult for our family. And I really pray that these prosecutors will see fit in allowing some justice to finally take place and letting Jeff go, because he has not committed a crime. And I really appreciate that you are willing to continue on the follow-up of this story in the media. Thank you. I'm Cecilia Story. I'm Jeff's partner.